Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet him, greet him, treat him, and street him. Today's date is May 22nd, 2014, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is, And the Beat Goes On, Azithromycin and the Risk of Cardiovascular Death. Today's guest skeptic is Dr. Salim Rezaei. Dr. Rezaei is an assistant professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine and Internal Medicine at the University of Texas in San Antonio. You may better know him for his Twitter handle, at SRREZAIE, or his awesome website, Rebel EM. Welcome to the SGEM, Dr. Salim Rezaei.
Hey, Ken, thanks for having me on.
You know, I'd like to know a little bit more about this Rebel website. When did you become a Rebel?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a little project we started about 7 months ago, trying to do something very similar to what you're doing over here at the Skeptic's Guide. And basically it's that, you know, I have a bunch of residents and students that I'm teaching different things to and things that I was taught as a resident. And it turns out that a lot of what we're taught is actually not right or is just based on old evidence. And so it's my attempt at going through some of those different topics and actually looking at the literature myself and coming up with my own conclusions that I can teach to my residents and students.
Well, I have to say, I have been so impressed, and I can't believe you'd only been doing this for less than a year, because you are an internet sensation. I mean, the stuff you're producing and the volume of stuff and the quality of your stuff you've been producing has been extremely, extremely well done.
Well, thank you very much. That's the goal, is not the quantity, but the quality of the product.
Well, you've got both in spades. So we've got a big podcast to do, so we better get rolling. So I've got a case scenario here for you. And the case scenario is a 56-year-old man presents to the emergency department and is diagnosed with community-acquired pneumonia. He has a history of osteoarthritis, which he takes some ibuprofen on a PRN basis. He does not have any history of cardiac disease, but he has an allergy to penicillin. So you're about to discharge him home on azithromycin when the resident raises a concern and says, Whoa, Dr. Milne, wasn't there some FDA warning about Z-packs and arrhythmias? So, Salim, what's the question for today's podcast?
Our clinical question is, does the use of azithromycin lead to increased cardiovascular death?
Good question to ask, because you know what? Erythromycin and clarithromycin have been shown to have an increased risk of serious cardiac arrhythmias and death. It was thought that azithromycin did not share these same cardiotoxic effects. Yet there's been some recent literature that's called into question on whether or not azithromycin can lead to serious cardiac arrhythmias and or death. Now, Salim, normally we just do a critical appraisal on one paper to answer the clinical question. But today we have something extra special for the SGEM. Instead of just one paper, we are going to cast our skeptical eye on two recent studies. It's going to be a two for one. And both of these are from the New England Journal of Medicine. So what's the first reference?
Absolutely. It was Ray et al. Title of the paper was Azithromycin and the Risk of Cardiovascular Death in the New England Journal of Medicine from 2012.
So from a couple of years ago, and we like to go through the PICO. So the P stands for population. Which population were they looking at in this study?
Adults 30 to 74 years old enrolled in Medicaid for greater than 1 year and regular medical care users. No life-threatening non-cardiovascular illnesses, non-nursing home resident, no prior drug abuse, and no hospitalization in the past 30 days. And they extracted their data from the Tennessee Medicaid program from 1992 to 2006.
And so what was the intervention that they were looking at?
Specifically, they were looking at the use of azithromycin for a 5-day course.
And what did they compare this intervention to?
They compared it to frequency matched cohorts with placebo versus other antibiotics such as amoxicillin, ciprofloxacin, and levofloxacin.
And what was the primary outcome that they were concerned with?
Cardiovascular death and all-cause mortality.
So the author's conclusion, Salim, was that, quote, during 5 days of azithromycin therapy, there was a small absolute increase in cardiovascular deaths, which was most pronounced among patients with high baseline risks of cardiovascular disease, end of quote. Now, we like to go through quality checklists, and I've put these BEAM quality checklists on the blog and on the website for people to download. But for prognostic studies, there's 6 questions we like to go through. So I'm going to run through those quickly with you. The first question is, was the study population included or focused on those from the emergency department?
It's kind of unclear. There was no specific comment on where the patients actually received their prescriptions.
Yeah, that's what I saw in the actual manuscript as well. We don't know where these people came from. It was just a big database. Question number 2, were the patients representative of those with the problem?
Yes.
Question number 3, were the patients significantly homogeneous with respect to prognostic risk?
Yes, they were.
Did they use objective and unbiased outcome criteria?
They did.
How about the follow-up? Was that sufficiently long enough and complete?
I think so. They followed patients up for up to 10 days after the use of antibiotics.
And the final question for the prognostic study quality checklist was, were the effects large enough and precise enough to be clinically significant?
Yes, as we're about to go through, they used some very large numbers in this study.
Okay, well, let's talk about large numbers and let's talk about the key results. What did they find?
Absolutely. So the key results showed patients taking no antibiotics were just over 1.3 million. Patients taking amoxicillin also just over 1.3 million prescriptions. Patients taking azithromycin were right around 350,000 patients. Patients taking ciprofloxacin, just over 250,000. And then the patients taking levofloxacin was almost 200,000 prescriptions.
So we're talking about big numbers here, people, right? And I've got to teach you to say million like Dr. Evil.
Absolutely. $1 million.
So the majority of the azithromycin and amoxicillin prescriptions were for upper respiratory infections or lower respiratory infections, while the ciprofloxacin was mainly for urinary tract infections, and the levofloxacin was both for upper and lower respiratory tract infections and URIs. But you know what, Salim, I need to get a little nerdy. I need to get EBM nerdy here, because when it comes to the statistical analysis, I always like to sneak in some little EBM pearls and some knowledge when it comes to these studies. And in this case, I think we need to talk about propensity score modeling. And what propensity score modeling does is it's a statistical tool or a way to analyze observational studies, and it tries to remove the confounding factors of bias from the analysis by comparing a treatment arm to a non-treatment arm. And really, to get a better handle on this, I'm going to put a couple of links up on the blog so you can look at that. And one of them's from the University of Manitoba, and it's got a nice little document there on how propensity scoring models can be used in observational trials. But that's enough nerdy stuff for right now. What were the actual results when they looked at azithromycin versus no antibiotics and the other antibiotics that were mentioned?
Absolutely. So there was basically 3 or 4 things they looked at. The first one was a comparison of azithromycin to no antibiotics. And what they showed is there was an increased risk of cardiovascular death, which had a hazard ratio of 2.88, and death from any cause, hazard ratio of 1.85, both of which had very tight confidence intervals. The azithromycin versus amoxicillin comparison had increased risk of cardiovascular death with a hazard ratio of 2.49, and death from any cause with a hazard ratio of 2.02. Again, very tight confidence intervals. Cardiovascular death was about 30 per million with no antibiotics, compared to 85 million for the azithromycin arm versus 31 per million with amoxicillin. The risk of death was highest in patients with the highest cardiovascular risks, which showed 245 additional deaths per million over a 5-day course of antibiotics.
And so just to emphasize that, when you were looking at the cardiovascular deaths, it was about 30 per million with no antibiotics and about 30 per million with amoxicillin, and then they saw only almost a tripling of that, up to close to 90 per million with the azithromycin, correct?
Correct.
All right, so let's provide some editorial comments to this, okay?
Absolutely. So one of the challenges with observational studies is the blurring of associations with causality. The authors here show an association of increased risk of cardiovascular and all-cause death with a 5-day course of azithromycin compared to placebo or amoxicillin or ciprofloxacin or levofloxacin match controls in otherwise very, very reasonably balanced cohorts. The event rates seem very, very small. I mean, we're talking about 100 deaths per million scripts, or 0.01%. Yet the hazard ratios are likely statistically significant just on the basis of the huge numbers with the comparison in the cohorts.
Yeah, when you start getting into these big numbers of 100,000 or a million patients, the study tends to be very, very overpowered. And so while you might find statistical significance, whether that really translates down to the actual individual patient is somewhat suspect. But I wanted to back up a bit and talk about this whole correlation not equaling causation. There was recently a beautifully demonstrated blog called Spurious Correlations, and I'll again throw that up on the blog. And it illustrated multiple examples of very strange things that seem to have a correlation. One of my favorite ones was the number of people who drowned by falling in a swimming pool was correlated with the number of films Nicolas Cage appeared in. So you can find a lot of correlations, but that doesn't mean that just because there was more Nicolas Cage movies that year, that there was more people causing to fall in and drown in swimming pools.
So absolutely. And then in a rebuttal commentary to the New England Journal of Medicine, various company and non-conflicted reviewers cautioned that prior randomized clinical trials with azithromycin not shown increased cardiovascular deaths, and that observational study results need to be interpreted with caution. There are possibly differential factors that may be more associated or causal with cardiovascular death beyond the azithromycin use, such as the pneumonia itself, that are not captured in these data sets.
And I think that's a really important point from the editorial, that, you know, we do have randomized control trials that show that there wasn't an increase in cardiovascular death. And an observational trial, if you look at the hierarchy of evidence-based medicine, observational trials fit somewhat below randomized control trials. So we do have randomized control trials that do not show a cause and effect problem. But, you know, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, did issue a safety announcement after this study was published. And it issued a warning that azithromycin, quote, can cause abnormal changes in the electrical activity of the heart that may lead to potential fatal irregular rhythms, end of quote. So patients and healthcare providers were encouraged to discuss this potential risk when considering appropriate antimicrobial therapy. But you know what? We got to get to a bottom line. What's the bottom line, Salim?
Yeah, and so along those lines, I think this paper does not say thou shalt not use azithromycin, but instead it just adds a bit to the growing evidence that azithromycin may have some cardiovascular risks, and maybe you should consider alternatives for treating upper and lower respiratory tract infections.
Now, normally in the podcast, what we do is we go on and talk about, well, how am I going to clinically apply this and what am I going to say to the patient? But you know what? I promised a twofer. I promised that we would be covering two articles, not just one. So, Salim, what's the second article we're going to go through today?
Absolutely. The second one is from Svanstrom et al. Title of the paper is Use of Azithromycin in Death from Cardiovascular Causes, also in the New England Journal of Medicine, only now we're talking about 2013 instead of 2012.
So you know the drill. What was the population?
Adult patients 18 to 64 years of age living in Denmark between the years of 1997 and 2010. Not hospitalized or given antibiotics in the prior 30 days.
And their intervention?
Again, was the use of azithromycin.
And what did they compare it to?
No antibiotics versus the use of penicillin during the same time period.
So they didn't throw in the fluoroquinolones in this study. How about the outcome?
So they actually had a primary and a secondary outcome in this study. The primary outcome was cardiovascular death, but their secondary outcome was all-cause mortality.
And so the author's conclusion from this second New England Journal of Medicine article from 2013 was, quote, azithromycin use was not associated with an increased risk of death from cardiovascular causes in a general population of young and middle-aged adults. So we've got the same six prognostic study quality checklists to go through. So question one, if you remember, was, are we talking about eMERGE patients here?
So again, we're kind of unsure in this study. There's no specific comments on where prescriptions were received. Azithromycin users were less likely to visit an emergency department in the past month compared to penicillin users, is about the only comment they make.
Well, were the patients at least representative of those with the problem?
Absolutely, they were.
And were the patients homogenous with respect to prognostic indicators?
Yes.
And were the outcomes objective and unbiased?
I believe so.
Do you think the follow-up was sufficiently long enough and complete?
Yes, it was.
And the final of those six questions that you need to ask yourself when you're going through a prognostic study like this is, was the effect large enough and precise enough to be clinically significant?
Absolutely, it was. Again, we're going to talk about this in just a sec, but very big numbers in this study as well.
Okay, Salim, bring me the big numbers. What were they?
Patients taking no antibiotics, just over 7 million prescriptions, versus patients taking penicillin, again, just over 7 million patients, versus patients taking azithromycin, just over 1 million prescriptions.
Again, we're going to have to work on that million talk or quote. What were the results when it came to the azithromycin and penicillin versus cardiovascular death?
So the risk of cardiovascular death from azithromycin use, which again is defined as the 5 days of treatment versus no antibiotics, showed a relative risk of a risk ratio of 2.85. But this may be attributable to the increased risk of death associated with the acute infection. The next thing they showed is risk of cardiovascular death with azithromycin use, again, 5 days of treatment versus penicillin V, which showed a risk ratio of 0.93. There was no increased cardiovascular death with recent, and by recent they mean the past 6 to 10 days, or past use, past 11 to 35 days. And there was no increase in their secondary outcome of all-cause death.
So they didn't find an increase in all-cause death, and there was no increase in the cardiovascular death. And when you looked at that azithromycin use versus penicillin, you mentioned that it was 0.93. And when you looked at the confidence interval, it spanned 1. It went from 0.5 up to 1.5. So crossing that line of unity, suggesting that there is no difference whether you used azithromycin versus penicillin. So what are we going to make on this from a commentary standpoint?
Yeah, so this is just another observational study, but this time it was of the entire Danish population. And these patients were aged 18 to 64, as opposed to the slightly older population in the first study we talked about. It used a similar propensity score model to remove confounding factors, also known as bias, discussed before observational trials showing correlation does not equal causation.
And pretty amazing. These Scandinavian countries, I was actually over teaching the Sweet Beam course, and I was really impressed. I mean, everybody is part of these national registries. So can you imagine everyone in the United States being part of a national registry and being able to use a database like this to look into things? I mean, this is a really big data set with millions of people.
Yeah, absolutely. This would be something fantastic for us to have.
Now, I guess the big thing, we've got to take a jump back here and say, is this study seems to find the opposite to what the previous study by Ray et al. In the New England Journal just a year earlier, which showed a higher risk of cardiovascular deaths with the use of the azithromycin. Now, this effect, however, seems to be linked to higher cardiovascular risk profiles that were found in the U.S. Medicaid cohort, where they did have patients up to 74 years of age. And you already mentioned that this was an 18 to 64-year-old, so they specifically excluded anybody over 65. And they were not included in this younger Danish study.
Yeah, and there was a number of limitations with this study as well. They didn't really provide the indication for the antibiotic treatment. There was no information on all the cardiovascular risk factors or body mass index of the patients. And the number of events in the subgroup analysis were very small. Cardiovascular causes of death were not specifically defined, for example, arrhythmia versus acute myocardial infarction.
Well, they did have an editorial in the same issue, just like they did in the previous one, reaffirming that despite the concerns about QT prolongation with azithromycin in patients with higher cardiovascular risks, it seems that macrolides are, in fact, safer than other antibiotics, such as fluoroquinolones, in hospitalized or ambulatory patients with community-acquired pneumonia. Now, there may be other cardiovascular effects with macrolide antibiotics besides just arrhythmias. And in fact, the SGEM, episode number 36, had discussed the risk of erythromycin and clarithromycin in association with hypotension in patients taking calcium channel blockers. But this association did not seem to extend to azithromycin.
Yeah, and so local guidelines, pathogen isolate frequencies, and resistant patterns should be coupled to patient cardiovascular risk profile to make the best choice about azithromycin usage. Consider the potential risks and consider the potential benefits, as we do with most medications and treatments that we prescribe to our patients. Some of the risks include arrhythmia, cardiovascular death, and those at higher cardiovascular risk and resistance, more hypotensive events of concurrent use of calcium channel blockers. But some of the benefits may be of greater benefit safety compared to fluoroquinolones, as you had alluded to earlier, but definitely not when compared to beta-lactams.
So the author's conclusions about the relative azithromycin safety in younger adult patients are likely appropriate, with the caveat that there should be some assessment of cardiovascular risk of arrhythmia and death and preferential use of alternative agents whenever possible. But what do you put for the bottom line after listening to this second study, Salim?
Absolutely. Azithromycin is not associated with an increased risk of cardiovascular death in a general adult population when compared to other antibiotics, provided there's a low baseline cardiovascular risk of arrhythmia or death.
And so this is the point where we now can do the clinical application. What do you tell your patients? So how are you going to clinically apply this, and what will you say to your patients?
Yeah, as far as the clinical application goes, azithromycin is not an unsafe antibiotic, especially in general adult patients who have very, very low risk cardiovascular disease. This is tempered by your local treatment guidelines and resistant patterns for infectious disease for which azithromycin is indicated. As far as what do I tell my patient, azithromycin can be a safe choice for bacterial infection treatment as long as the adult is not above the age of 65 and doesn't have and/or doesn't have elevated cardiovascular risk factors.
Well, I started this, Salim, with a case, and so I'm going to try to resolve the case so we can frame the whole discussion. And if you'll remember, it was that resident who sort of stopped me from getting out my prescription pad and handing over a prescription for azithromycin. So I guess the first thing I should do is thank the resident for raising the concern, because we should always be going, yeah, thanks for, okay, good, all right. And then I'd hold a discussion with that 56-year-old man, and I'd consider him a low risk from a cardiac standpoint because he didn't have any cardiac risk factors and didn't have a past medical history with cardiac problems. But I do recognize that he has an allergy to penicillin, and so I would make a shared decision with him and discharge him home with a prescription for the azithromycin, feeling quite confident.
If people want to see some more on this topic, I've actually written a blog post on these two specific articles over on my website, rebelem.com.
You have written a ton of great stuff on that website, and I encourage people to check out that rebel.com website. Keener Contest, one of my favorite parts of the show. Last week's winner, congratulations, Chris Miller from Washington University in St. Louis. He knew that the song "Video Killed the Radio Star" by The Buggles was the first music video ever played on MTV in 1981. So congratulations, Chris. I will send you a cool skeptical prize. Salim, you have dug out a great Keener contest for this week.
Yeah, and it's actually a three-part question, if that's okay with you. I know we usually do one question, but I have three parts to this.
Well, it was a two-paper episode, so a three-question Keener contest seems just fine to me.
First question, what year was azithromycin discovered? Second question is, when was it patented? And the third question is, by whom was the antibiotic azithromycin discovered?
Oh, you're not making it easy. They have to be very keen to get all three answers correct. But if you do know the answer to this question, send me an email, thesgem@gmail.com, and use Keener in the subject line. And if you are the first person to correctly answer all three of these hard questions, then you will receive a cool skeptical prize. Well, you know what? Salim, I want to thank you for actually taking the time, I know it's late tonight, and being on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Ken, I just want to say thank you for this opportunity and having me on. And for the listeners, remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next week.
Yes, the beat goes on.